Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
6:14 now, Monday morning, November 4th, Election Eve. They got a tropical system down in the Gulf that it's a long story, but they're saying as it stands now, rain, I wouldn't even say system, it could develop in a tropical some or the other. We'll talk to Peyton Malone or somebody later on, but they're saying, and they got a cone of probability out there and all that mess, but they're saying with the wind shear in the Gulf and everything else that it means maybe a 30% chance for showers on Saturday and during the weekend. That's what they're saying. So before everybody gets all spun up about that, otherwise it's just warm, man. 76 degrees driving in, which is crazy for November 4th Election Eve. Mike Dettelier joins us now, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. How you doing, Mike?
All right, I'm fine, Tommy.
Mike, you know, I was saying before, I don't know if you heard any of it or not, but, you know, these people with the bags and talking about the Aints and everything, I think as long as you got a guy like guys like number 7 and number 41, who, if you don't think they're banged up and hurting, you're kidding yourself. You're delusional. They are as beat up, if not more so, than anybody else, but you'd never know it from the way they played yesterday. So I don't go to bag on the head route. I really don't. And also, I think once you hang that banner, that Super Bowl banner in the dome, I don't think you put a bag on your head, at least not now. All that being said, and I also said this about the Saints, and I want to be a good partner with the Saints and everything else. If I'm the New Orleans Saints organization, I want the fans so angry right now that they're bleeding out of their eyeballs, because what they don't want is people that don't care. Am I wrong in any of that or not?
No, you're not wrong with it. Saints fans care, but there's sort of the limit part of it. And the worst thing in life, if in any product you're trying to sell, is apathy to it. I don't care. And so you at that point, Tommy, because I've heard longtime Saints fans and say, you know what? I used to revolve my weekend around the Saints. I don't do it anymore. Tommy, that's not good. When you've had people that have been loyal to the organization, have bought tickets, have attended games, make that decision that, you know what, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it anymore unless I see something different out on the field.
See, what you just said just now is the key. I'm not going to do it unless I see something different on the field. I don't even know where to start here. First of all, let me start with the positive. I don't know that 41 could have played any better than he did yesterday. Do you think?
Man, thank God you got him because he's one hell of a player. And runner, receiver, just his ability, his playmaking skills in both fields, he's got it at a very high level. And doing this behind a makeshift, at best, offensive line. And he's done it the last couple of years like that.
So with that being said,
that's what really is, you know, you look at it and you got to come away impressed with what he's been able to do.
So with that being said, when it comes to some of the play calling, it would seem like you got a guy that is your playmaker, that has the hot hand, the hot legs, that is playing lights out. You would think that you'd want to get the ball into his hands in key situations as much as you can, right?
You would think that, but yeah. I know what you're saying on the final play.
Well, and even the two-point conversion, same thing.
If you watched it, the one thing the Panthers kind of made a decision, you can throw it downfield, but they bracketed Kamara. They had a guy in front and back. They were going to make sure he wasn't going to be the guy. I think the call over the middle was the correct call. The execution of that, but it, so many things come down to that.
Well, first of all, it shouldn't have come down to that play, not with the stats
no,
added up the way.
No, it should have. I knew they were in trouble when you drive downfield and you got to settle for field goals instead of touchdowns. I knew they were in big trouble. The Panthers defensively had given up so many touchdowns in those type spots throughout the year. And when I saw that, I knew you were going to be treading water all game long. It was going to be really difficult. And if you were going to win, it was going to be in a tight game. And it turned out that, that was the Panthers' win. But that was the indication to me you were in trouble. And, Tommy, you and I are old enough. We've seen this sort of thing before. Yep. And I remember, Hank Stram, Saints, and they played Tampa Bay in the Dome. The Bucs had never won a game, and you lost that game to the Bucs. You're the first team to lose to them. That did it for Coach Stram. That was it. Now, he was the only one that didn't know it, but the owner wasn't going to put up with that at that time, John Meacham. And he did coach one more game, and then he got fired. And so you understand there are certain tipping points for a coach. And maybe the tipping point was long before then, this, but yesterday I think was really the tip. And so if it happens whenever, if it happens during the bye week or after the season, they're going to have some massive changes on this football team all across the board structurally, not just the head coach. It's easy to blame the quarterback and the head coach. Easy. You got more problems than that. Much more.
Let me take a break, Mike. We'll pick it up here when we come back. Bobby Hebert had some interesting things to say on a point after yesterday. I think a lot of people listen to that about changes and maybe if it first of all, I think it's clear that, and I, I'll pick it up when we come back. We're late. 6:21 traffic now, WWL.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
6:26, Tommy Tucker, WWR. Let me clean this up. Earlier I said this tropical disturbance in the Gulf. It's not in the Gulf yet, but they're expecting it to get there. It's in the Caribbean. From what they're saying is, even though there's a cone of probability, the only thing we can look for is, as it stands now, 30% chance for showers. Of course, we got the big LSU-Bama game this weekend. Mike Dettelier, our guest, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. I think Dennis Allen is a nice man. I've never met him. He seems like a nice guy. But he was asked yesterday in a press conference about, is he worried about his job? And he says, all I can tell you is I'm going to come in and work my A off every day like I always do. And I texted somebody, I think the answer to that question is, you're damn right I'm worried about my job, as should everybody in this building and everybody in the NFL, because it is an extremely competitive business. And there are lines of people waiting to take this job if I don't excel at it and if I don't deliver. And I think the record is kind of in on Dennis Allen, barely 500 as a Saints coach, and I think he's won like a third of his games as a head coach in the league. Some people are meant to be head coaches. Some people are not. And I think as far as midseason firings go, I don't think it's going to do anything to change the team. But I do think politically, in tomorrow's election day, as we just heard you talk about, I think if the Saints – want to really keep the fans on board and I hate to say sacrifice, but maybe sometimes to show them you're going to take a step in the right direction, maybe it might be time for something like that. Thoughts?
The thought process is it really doesn't matter. If you change now, the result, because this is a bottom line business. It's about wins and losses. Nothing else. All this beyond the record, you know, come on. It's always going to be about wins and losses. And optics, if you fire a coach, you probably get a little bump for a week or two. And then you're right back to where you are before.
Results.
Because the cause of that but results. Is much deeper than the coach.
Yeah, I just want to say, Mike, to clarify, results, you get a bump. But maybe when it comes to fan interest, then maybe you keep them on board because they realize, you know, changes are coming. Thoughts?
Because we've lived through that that one little word that kept Saints fans going forever. Hope. Hope that
faith,
somewhere
hope, and
down
bum.
The line, it would change.
You remember that? Faith, hope, and bum?
That? Yeah. And so I do think you certainly got to consider that. Because fan base now, because we live in that society. You know, this isn't the 60s, 70s, or even in the 80s, where you would give a coach a little while. That ain't the case today. Sorry. No. Times have changed, and you got to win, and you got to understand that your fan base is going to have a short leash on head coaches.
And I think, Mike, it goes to... You know, I hate to make this example because it's terrible, but when the head of the Secret Service resigned, it's not that that's going to automatically result in a holistic change or anything, but it does show that the people involved in the organization realize that they have a problem and they are paying attention to it, and that somebody's got to be responsible for something as you go ahead to make holistic changes. We'll take a break, pick it up when we come back, 6:30, time for WWL First News. All right, 644, 1607. Quickly back to Mike Dettelier, WWL.com, Analyst Coast, the Sports Talk. I'm getting some text here about, you know, the problem is the owner. Well, if you get a new owner, you might have, you know, a team in another city. So I don't know if the problem is the owner or not. I think, you know, if y'all didn't hear Bobby Hebert in a point after last night, I would strongly suggest you download the Odyssey app and listen to what he had to say about maybe a revised role for Mickey Loomis. What really resonated with me was when he said he's sure that Mr. Benson probably told Ms. Gale, you know, look, I like the people I have in place, take care of the team and everything else, and maybe it's time for Mickey Loomis to assume a new role and maybe, you know, bring in some new people and just take a new direction for the team. But, Mike, you know, as far as sacrificial lambs go, sometime you just wind up with a meal for the night and a dead lamb. You got to look beyond that, right? So I don't. You tell me as far as—
Actually—
Go ahead.
Actually, Bobby said that Saturday when we did.
Well, he said it yesterday
remote
too.
At Rouse and Biloxi, okay. And then he sort of repeated it again yesterday. Okay. And what he brings up is plausible, and I've heard other people say it too. My big question is, if you're changing the inner structure, who makes that final decision?
Mm-hmm. About
who? Who's going to be the kind of kingmaker here? Mm-hmm. Who's going to pick the head coach? Who's going to pick the general manager? Who's going to pick the director of player personnel?
Well, you tell me how the NFL works. What would be the best practices in that? Well, let's say I'm Gale Benson. I want the best for the city. I want the best for the team. Tell me how to go about it. You know how the NFL works.
Yeah, and if she went that route, the NFL would try to help her. That they've always kind of been there in that spot.
Now you're talking about going outside of the building and going to the commissioner and saying, or whomever the commission works with the commissioner and saying, look, I want to turn this thing around. Tell me how to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, there are different ways to do it, but I still believe the way the structure is, Mickey Loomis will still have immense power with this team because somebody is going to have to make those choices. I don't think people get kind of the structure here. He is still going to have a major say no matter what. But, you know, that is part of the NFL that's different for every team, different for every organization that's out there. Look at what the Raiders have done. This morning they fired their offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, and their quarterback coach. Tommy, that marks the fourth time in the past 5 years the Raiders have either switched coordinators or head coaches in the middle of a season.
How's that worked out for him?
Has it worked out well? But
in
that structure, that's Mark Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's acting a lot like his dad late in Al's life. Al Davis was like that. Other people do things differently. We saw Woody Johnson, who had never been a guy to pull the plug on a head coach, I think got advice from his quarterback and say, enough's enough, I'm going to do it. And he decided to make that change. Everybody runs it different, but there has to be someone that's going to be the bottom line guy. And for many years now, Mickey Loomis has said he has the final say. And I think no matter how you restructure this, he is still going to have final say.
Okay, so let's go with that. He's got to realize that he's got peers in the NFL, just like I have peers here. And I had a conversation with somebody over the weekend. I don't always do it, but I strive for excellence because I know my peers are listening, right? So he can't be happy with mediocrity. So he's got a – what does Mickey Loomis do? Who's out there? Where do we go from here, I guess, it's easy to say, again, with the sacrificial lamb, and I don't mean to wear that out, but, all right, you got a meal and you got a dead sheep, but other than that, where do you go from there? How do you build from there? I don't know what the NFL looks like. I don't know who's out there. I don't know who the up-and-comers are. I think the other situation is you got to look at the Saints' salary cap. Who's under contract? Is Derek Carr your quarterback for years to come, no matter what? How do you fix that? Saints, I'm hearing a lot of stuff on social media about the Saints and number one pick and all of that, which led me to say, okay, and I know the NFL now is you got to make your money in the first 4 years, right, while they're under the rookie contract. Okay, who do we have out there? Do they have any quarterbacks? Is it a good class for quarterbacks if the Saints get the number one pick? Do you trade that? Do you parlay it? I'm hitting you with a bunch of questions here, Mike, but you take your time. Think about them all and give me some answers when we come back, because I think that's what I'm looking for. It's like, okay, fine, I get it. If you need to make a sacrifice to keep the fan base attuned and paying attention so they don't wander off somewhere else, okay, I get that. I feel bad for Dennis Allen, but I think he had a fair chance. I don't know that it's going to change anything this season, but looking ahead, okay, we're going to turn it around. How do you turn it around? Is it a speedboat or is it an aircraft carrier? 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:56, quickly back to Mike to tell you, he set the table for you, Mike. Have at it.
There needs to be structural issues addressed on this football team, and it all surrounds personnel, players. That's what you're lacking today. It's a football deal. But there has to be one person that has to be in charge of picking when that's going to come down to a new head coach and whatever other things. But bottom line is, what you see out on the field, Tommy, do you think the Saints have enough players that they could be a playoff team?
Certainly not with the injuries, but even besides that, no.
No, even before.
Right.
And so... That's where you got to center your problem is. You don't have enough players. I can go get a coach and a young coach or whatever. But this stuff about, I hear it all the time, Bill Belichick. And my thing is, I shake my head because Bill may go down in the last 25 years the greatest head coach in the NFL, but he's lost his touch. Take a look at the Patriots. You know why? They gave him complete power. He ended up overseeing an organization and picking bad players, signing bad players. He can still coach, but he wants complete control. So for this team, They got to get away from one thing. That continuity is great. Continuity is only great if you have success. And you're going to have to go outside the organization to fix it, what you have here. But it all centers around players. All centers around players.
Right. So with that
being
said,
you don't have enough of them.
So with that being said, let's talk about contracts, dead money, future, etc.
Well, that new head coach is going to, and GM's going to have to deal with it. They're going to have to deal with that burden. And you're going to have to make some tough decisions with guys that have been here a while. And so there are going to be some major off-season decisions on this team. No question. It'll be a much more eventful off-season than season.
This is, without doubt, time to blow it up. I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah, it's basically a time that you have to tear it down.
And you start
because
all over again.
There aren't, you know.
FEMA looked at it and said the damage.
Always look at it this way.
Go ahead.
I always look at it this way. If I was a top team in the NFL, like the Lions or Packers, how many starters would start for them off of your team?
Mm-hmm.
FEMA, ain't a lot.
FEMA looked at it and said, you know what? It's more than 50% damaged. Tear it down, start over, right?
Correct.
Thank you, Mike.
And we know about that FEMA stuff.
Yes,
here.
We do. We'll listen for you this afternoon when you second guess with Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper on the beach, Hancock County, Mississippi. Head out there, spend Election Eve with him. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app